Hi. You might notice that we have a different background today, right? And we thought that we don't usually have the flag that we have in the back up in our living room, but the mirror was really reflecting, so we decided to put that up. But it's actually the flag that we really love, because it's a flag of the whole earth, all of us united together. And yeah. So we were really excited to have that up there.
Yeah, and actually, I sort of like it there. so maybe we
maybe we'll keep it there.
Okay, so there's still some people whose pictures aren't up, but welcome to you all.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, there's still several people like Chad and Patrice and Leo and Rosalyn. It doesn't show that you're on phone. It just doesn't show your pictures yet. So if you have your video blocked, that would probably fix it.
Yeah.
Hey, Leo, there you go.
Love to see you.
Okay.
If you can, it would be great to see you.
Ah, Chad, good to see you. So if
indeed.
Whoever's got your video blocked, we'll just assume it's too early in the morning for you, or you just got out of the shower, or...
Well, hopefully, you know, I think that a lot of times people feel uncomfortable about being seen on video. And I just feel like we're all here together, and why not share and be with each other the way we are in that whatever that moment is. So let's do that. If you, you know, I mean, of course you don't have to, but I'm just saying, why not? Why not? So, as you know, we're going to be talking about how to be grounded in turbulent times. And I'm just wondering how you've been doing that for yourself. I'm really curious, because we have a pandemic going on, which we talked about last month. Now we have a lot of unrest in the U.S. So we're just talking about how do you stay grounded in all of that. And that's really important, because if we're here, the reason Gary and I are here is to create authentic power and to be in spiritual partnership with each other and with all of you. And so we are really interested in finding out how you're doing that and what's going on with you. But I know, Gary, you had some things to say to everyone, right, beloved?
Hello. Sure, I'm glad you're here today. There's so much going on in the world. And I also would like to know what's happening with you. Because as Linda said, first we had the pandemic. Then we had people saying there's no pandemic. I'm not going to wear a mask. Then we had protesters of what appeared to be a brutal murder of a black man by a white policeman, yet another one. And then it turned out that the protest was much more than that, as people began to realize it was protesting brutality. And now it's being called systemic racism. And it is systemic racism. But the brutality has far deeper roots than that. We have brutalized people, one another, not only the United States, in all of recorded history. And so all of the things that we're experiencing now, as we see that the murder of George Floyd triggered a long pent-up frustration with the police and the brutality and being frightened to be in the world and drive and walk if you're black. And underneath that was the brutality with which we created this system. By we, I'm talking about the human species. And so the context in which we're meeting this morning is not only those things, includes not only those things, but is all held in the context of the transformation of human consciousness that's now in progress. A transformation in human awareness and perception, so that we begin to see ourselves as more than minds and bodies. We begin to see our world as more than random, but as meaningful, as able to teach us about ourselves. And as we begin to see the universe, not as cold and merciless and empty, and dead, but as alive and wise and compassionate. So in that new context, we're looking at all of these things, and that new context brings with it also a new understanding of power. And the old understanding of power while we were five sensory was the ability to manipulate and to control. And now as we're multi-sensory, we begin to see that a new understanding that's emerging is power as the alignment of your personality with your soul. And your soul has the intentions of harmony and cooperation and sharing and reverence for life. That means it's completely incompatible with brutal murder, whether it's in rage, whether it's institutional, whether the victim or the villain is of one color or another, or one culture or another. We're moving beyond all of that. And yet the world's not beyond all of that. So what do we do? As this new consciousness emerges in us, we're beginning to awaken to the desires of the soul, harmony, cooperation, sharing, and reverence for life. And we're awakening in a world of competition, brutality, discord, hoarding, and exploitation. So now what do we do? That's the question that hundreds of millions of us are asking now. So for those of you in the Authentic Power Immersion and that have been creating authentic power for years, you know that, but it always helps to be reminded. It always helps for me to be reminded and to hear these words coming from others. Because this is the new terrain that we're walking through now. This is the new world. The pursuit of external power, ability to manipulate and control, produces only violence and destruction. That's what's coming to awareness now. We have, as a species, first, our country, we know that. Our country is built on two pillars. In addition to the Constitution, historically, it's genocide and slavery. And now the country is beginning to recognize that. It's something that Black people have always recognized. It's something that Native Americans have always recognized. Now it's time for all of us as multi-sensory humans to recognize. But now we move beyond the boundaries of our country and our culture. And we don't have to move very far. We can see the Nazis in Germany. We can see the Cultural Revolution in China. We can see World War II and dictators such as Joseph Stalin. 80 million Russians died in World War II. Or maybe it was 20 million, but 20 million just fighting the invasion of the French, Napoleon. So you can see this goes on, and it goes all the way back. It goes back to the origin of humanity. And now that we're becoming multi-sensory, we're seeing all of that. We're seeing that the history that came into being and is now coming to an end was the history of a five-sensory species evolving by the pursuit of external power. And now that species is coming to an end. It's dying. That consciousness is dying. And by the way, it doesn't mean that we as multi-sensory humans are superior to those before us who were five-sensory, because we've all been five-sensory too. And it doesn't mean that pursuing external power was a negative or deadly then. It's how we evolved as a species. We learned how to manipulate and to control the environment. But that's toxic now. It's counterproductive to our evolution. So that's where we are. That's what brings us to this call. And I'm so happy to share it again, because often people don't realize it. They get caught up in systemic racism, in police brutality, in the fear of our democracy sliding into dictatorship. It's already slid into oligarchy, but it's a much larger context than that. And we are transiting as the species, from five-sensory humanity to multi-sensory humanity, from the understanding of powers, manipulation, and control to the understanding of power as alignment of the personality with the soul, which essentially, bottom line, is love. So here we are, and that's why I'm asking you, how are you doing? What are you doing now as you're watching the TV and you're seeing all of these things unfold around the world?
How are you creating authentic power?
Exactly.
How are you being emotionally aware? Are you feeling mm-hmm. what you're feeling mm-hmm. or blaming other people or blaming yourself?
So Gail, would you share with any newcomers that might not know how to raise your hand in our call so that we can see a hand raised and answer your questions or hear your sharing? That's really what we're asking for now.
Sure. Hi, everyone. On your phone, if you're on your phone and you want to raise your hand, press *9 and that will automatically raise your hand. On your computer, go to the bottom of your screen and look at the participants icon and click on that. And in the bottom left-hand corner, you'll see a hand icon. Just click on the hand and that will raise your hand.
Okay, and all of the raised hands we'll see on our participant.
Yeah.
Window, right?
Right.
They'll all come to the top. We don't have to scan all of the thumbnail.
No,
videos.
We'll see them.
Okay.
So I'd like to start with, just take a moment, really.
Yeah.
We'll call on people, but I want you to take a moment and see what it is that would be important for you to share. That if you don't share it, you'll feel like you're just working with the same thing over and over again and you haven't said it out loud. I feel like often if I say something out loud because I don't want to continue feeling that way, if I say it out loud for the purpose of not letting a frightened part control me, then that kind of sharing is very powerful. It's very powerful. And so maybe you have had a lot of fear come up, but sharing about it because you don't want it to control you, we really encourage talking, being able to talk about that because you may not know how to get out of that. So let's just take a moment and just see what comes up right now. So just, if you can, you can close your eyes, whatever you need to do. And then we'll just take some time. I'm going to ring a chime. And just go into a place where you can really see what's happening in you. Just open your eyes, and I see we have lots of people that want to share, so that's wonderful. Let's call on Bamford.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Bamford.
I have a frightened part of my personality that I used to think was a loving part. I used to think it came from love. I used to think that rages about injustice that it perceives. And it has come up quite a bit in the past 2 weeks or so, seeing news reports about George Floyd and quite a few others. And when that frightened part comes up, I feel my heart start beating faster. I feel my muscles get tense. And I feel a burning in my solar plexus area, like a knot, a burning knot that's very tense. And so, like I say, I used to think that frightened part is very self-righteous. And I used to think that it was caring and loving. And especially just rereading the chapter on power in the seat of the soul, where it talks about that specific thing. It says, when you rage against injustice, and explains how that's coming from fear, not love. So that has helped me relax a little bit, understand where this is all coming from, you know, coming from fear that we all, these frightened parts that we all have. And so not seeing, staying conscious and not seeing it as us against them, as, you know, the people against the police, or whatever that us and them division might be. And recognizing that we are all in this together. And then seeing some more positive signs of police joining with protesters, of hugging protesters, and seeing that, you know, there is change happening, maybe very small, but there are some positive signs too. So that helps me to stay grounded and remember that we are all connected as human beings, and not to make judgments about, or if I do make judgments, to be aware of those judgments and take responsibility for them and realize they have nothing to do with those I'm judging. They have to do with my frightened parts.
Thank you, Banford. That's exactly, that brought you to the heart of creating authentic power. As long, when you create real power in your life, your attention doesn't go outward, it goes inward. That doesn't mean you're not aware of what's happening in the world. It means that you're aware, first of all, of what's happening in you. And if you're feeling painful physical sensations in your energy processing centers, and those of you who are familiar with chakras, that's what that means, then you know that a frightened part of your personality is active. And it's familiar. You felt the same thing before. Judgment. Judgment of whom? It doesn't matter. That's when we say, look inside yourself. Judgment of the police, judgment of white people, judgment of black people, judgment of yellow people, judgment of your parents, judgment of your neighbors, judgment of your children, judgment of one another, judgment of yourself. All of that comes from fear. And if you act from fear, you create destructive consequences. That's why it's so important to create authentic power, because while you're acting from fear, you're introducing more fear into the world, and the world is built on external power. It's what we inherited from a five sensory species. So how can you change something that you want to change by adding more of the same thing to it? You can't. You just add more to it. That's why if you hate the police, if you hate white, if you hate black, if you hate Chinese, if you hate your parents, you're just adding more. The only thing you can do is add something different. That's love. But how do you love somebody? How do you love Donald Trump? How do you love the police? How do you love a drug dealer? How do you love the military when it's out of control? It's not the military. It's one person at a time. You know, I'm remembering when Gandhi, in effect, sort of shut down India. He didn't call it that at the time, because a group of protesters attacked a police station and they set it on fire, just like these protesters did to one of the precincts in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Except there, when the police came out, they killed him. And Gandhi said he was going to fast. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there were people there who said, but Gandhi, they're the police. And Gandhi said, tell that to the mother of each of those people. Gandhi didn't say, see police, he saw people. And Gandhi had the intention to free India from British rule. So that doesn't mean he just said, I'll just be love. He said, no, I'm going to do everything I can to free India from the British. But he never hated, he never judged, never. He was authentically powerful. He was also a universal human.
And what we're seeing, beloved, what we're seeing is more and more people are seeing that. They're doing that. They are that.
They are striving. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. We saw an interview with Senator Cory Booker last last night on Stephen Colbert's show. And he's in his office with his American flag. And you can see on the wall, right here behind his head, is a photo of Gandhi. So how did Gandhi, in his face, in his name, become an icon that's universal? Because he didn't hate. How did Martin Luther King become an icon? Because he didn't hate. He wouldn't judge. But they had intentions that were heartfelt, and they were committed. They committed their entire lives to those intentions, but they would not hate. They would not judge. That's something you can only do when you have authentic power.
When you're creating it.
When you're moment creating by moment. It, moment by moment. And it doesn't mean that you don't have parts of your personality that judge, that hate, that condemn yourself or others.
We all have
but
those.
As you learn how to create authentic power, you can recognize those in yourself and decide not to be controlled by them in the moment. Not to let them control your activities, your words, your actions. And so you become one who moves through the Earth School with an empowered heart without attachment to the outcome. So thank you, Bamford, for that last step. Until then, you were talking about your experiences of frightened parts of your personality, and your attention, your discussion was taking us to the outer world. But first,
but that's what Bamford realized.
That that's was, what you was, realized, and that's what you shared.
What he thought was a loving part was actually not a loving part. He realized that.
And this is not new, by the way. Plato said, your life, you're like a charioteer, and your chariot's being pulled by horses. But when they're in control, that's where the chariot goes, and that's where you go. What is new now is that we're all becoming multisensory.
Indeed. I want to call on some more people. So many people have raised their hand. So Pam, I'd like to call on you. Can you hear me, Pam? You have to unmute.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Yeah. Thank you for this topic. I mean, how to stay grounded during turbulent times. What I realize that supports me immensely is when I can look at how I'm creating turbulence in my life, it enables me to really have compassion for what my frightened part perceives as others creating things that affect me or that cause me pain. An example that I can give was last week, I had a disagreement with one of my daughters. And at first I really thought that it was the disagreement with her that was causing my pain, that her not agreeing with something that I wanted was causing my pain. But what I really saw on a deeper level was, because I'd learned to stop and feel what's happening in me. I mean, and the frightened parts really swirled for a while. I mean, I knew they were frightened parts, but to be able to really see them clearly and decide what I was going to do next was just so powerful. And the only way that I know I can do that is by creating authentic power myself.
What does that mean when you say that? Because there are a lot of new people on the call, a number of them.
It means taking responsibility for what I'm feeling and looking at what's happening in my body. I'm using my energy centers or chakras, as you mentioned before, to really feel what's going on. Because I know just looking at my thoughts isn't always so helpful, because they can rationalize and really convince me that I'm right from that frightened part perspective. And when I do that, when I know that there's pain somewhere in my body, and in this case, it was in my solar plexus and my heart area, I know that a frightened part's active. I know that if I act from those thoughts, which were that my daughter was wrong, she misunderstood, she was overreacting. I mean, there were a lot of frightened part thoughts, but I knew because of what I was feeling that they were frightened parts on my part. So I just chose to do something different. I didn't really know, because it took a little while. It took overnight, actually. But I knew it was a frightened part, and I knew I didn't, because I was starting to feel distant from her. So I knew it was more about me than her. And I didn't want that distance. So I knew I had to take some kind of action, do something, not just allow that to continue. And one of the things that really helped me at the end of the Authentic Power Guidelines, it says, be sure to enjoy yourself, which is a lot of times something I forget to do. I approach it so seriously, my frightened part does. It's like, oh my goodness, you know. So despite frightened parts that were still active, because I was afraid I would, my frightened part was afraid that if I talked to her in person, that she would say something that would trigger me, and then I would react and create more distance. But I know that those are frightened parts. I've experienced them many times in my life. And so challenging them over and over and over again really has helped. So I called her, and I knew that, I knew deep in my heart that there was no frightened part, if I challenged it, that would distance me from her, that I love her so much. I did not want that distance. So I really did. We had a wonderful conversation. I just told her what was going on with me. I wasn't trying to change her or convince her that, you know, she had overreacted or whatever the frightened part's thoughts were.
Oh, thank you, Pam.
And it was beautiful. Yeah, it was a beautiful conversation that we had, and really it allowed me to change myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much. That's really helpful. So we're going to call on Ruben. Hi, Ruben. I don't think I've met you before or seen you.
Hi, Gary and Linda. I just want to say, like, thank you, like, for your books. Like, they've changed my life. It's just, I can't even put it into words. Like, it's saved my life. So I just, so much gratitude. I'm just mind blown that I actually have this opportunity to sit with you today. So I think what's coming up lately with everything is, I know there's the whole systemic racism thing. But I'm also very aware that a lot of it's driven, like, I'm flashing back to a lot of the kind of racist experiences I've had. So I know a lot of that's my own stuff. And my a lot of the times, like, my next kind of healing journey, like, the next thing that I need to heal in my life, like, and the books, as you say, the universe brings it in front of you if it's time to heal. And for me, it's something to do with anger. Like, I lost anger my whole life. If I even expressed the slightest bit of anger, it was like a threat to my father. So it was like that emotion was not welcome whatsoever. But I've also learned that I need it. Like, I don't know in what way, but I do need the emotion. I don't know how to express it though, and it scares me because it's always been 0 or 100, right? So it's, I don't know how to be angry, or maybe just like a part of me being angry or a part of me being assertive, but still be loving, because it's like, sometimes I feel like I'm so loving that I'm so passive and just like zenned out, and like, I'm not present. Like, I'm going too much on the love part. So maybe I was hoping to get some clarifications if that even is like a loving period, because I think, as I understand it, loving is, there's still courage and there's still assertiveness and all that stuff with love too. So I'm a bit confused there.
Yeah. Do you have the Authentic Power Guidelines that we use? Okay, you do have them. Okay, great. Yeah. That's good.
And I've gone through the whole course and everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You haven't been to the Journey to the Soul, though. I would recommend that.
Journey to the Soul.
That's our retreat that we're doing online live this year in July. Okay. I would love to see you there because it's, you'll really, if you you can. Will you be practicing with other people who also have been reading the books, who've also are interested in the same kinds of questions you are? Mm-hmm. And when we talk about that together, and when you work in small groups, and you are able to actually practice. I don't know how many people you have to practice with, but I know that it really helps when you're able to be in spiritual partnership with other people who also want to create authentic power. It's very, very powerful. And so that's why for all these years, we've been doing this retreat for many years, like over 25 years, we've been doing this, because we knew that it's one thing to read the book and do the best you can on your own, but to do this with other people, to support them and support and for you to support them and that for them to support you and for Gary and I to be there with you. And also in this, we're in it together. We're all in it together because we have frightened parts and loving parts too. Mm-hmm. And so we are there together to support each other, because we know that without that, the things that are happening now will continue to happen. So we all really need to work together and see who we really are, mm-hmm. which is we're all souls here in the Earth School, which I know you know because you've been reading the book, so you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so it's such an exciting time. But I bet, beloved, you probably have some really wonderful things to say about Reuben's question, which was about anger.
Yeah, I'd like to address your question directly, Reuben, because it is confusing. It was to me for a long time. And we have a commonality. When I was younger, my anger used to terrify me. Because not that I didn't feel it, I felt it a lot, but I always felt that I was trying to hold it down to maybe 20 or 18 on a scale of 2000. And if I ever let it out, it was going to be so destructive to me. I didn't know what I'd do to other people. Mm-hmm. And so anger was a big part of my life. And I didn't realize at the time what it was doing to me, because I was pushing people away.
Yeah.
They didn't want to be vulnerable around me. They didn't want to share intimately around me. The only people I had that were close to me were reflecting me because of the law of attraction. They were angry too, judgmental.
Yeah.
So anger is anger. And by that, I mean, it's not love. But don't let that stop you from feeling your anger. There's a difference between, in other words, creating authentic power is this: you can experience all of your emotions. And in fact, you need to experience them fully, not to attempt to repress or deny or suppress any of your emotions, including in your case, anger. And there'll be others too.
Or go, like you said, go to the other end and be loving, but it's really that you're not really feeling that way. You're pleasing people. You're not really there in an authentic way with someone.
Yeah.
And that's a really, really important thing to look at, because when you're not, then what happens is you still have the anger, in fact, resentment, judgment, all kinds of things are going on, but you're not acting them out, but you are inside of yourself because you're not being real.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that very well. And I've worked on that very clearly, because I felt, you know, pleasing people and acting the way that I thought they wanted me to was really helpful, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was a chameleon. I could change. I thought this was good. I thought I could change however people are. I'll just be the way I think they want me to be. And my life was about that. And so I didn't. So what I thought was love wasn't love. That wasn't love. That's not love when you do that, because it's not being aware of what's going on. I wasn't aware of what was going on in me. I was completely in denial about what I was feeling. And so that was just a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so Gary has the other end of it, where he was expressing his anger, right, beloved? I mean,
I'd like to go to your question from another perspective. I agree with everything that Linda said.
Yeah.
And I can see that you felt those things too.
Mm-hmm.
Developing emotional awareness is more than the ability to say, I'm angry. If somebody's so terrified of their anger, they won't even say, I'm angry. In fact, they'll be terrified to say that they're angry because they don't want to let the spring start to uncoil. But when you develop emotional awareness, you're not just saying, you're not observing that you're angry. You're observing specific areas in your body, physical sensations in those areas. So instead of saying, I'm angry, or when you know that you are angry, you direct your attention inward to your, the most easy ones to look at, I feel, are throat, chest, and solar plexus areas. And look at what you're feeling there. Because while you're doing that, you're turning your attention inward and away from what is triggering that experience. In other words, you're beginning to see in the intimacy of your own life that that anger does not have to do with the outside world. The outside world triggers that anger. But what does that mean? It means it activates a part of your personality that is generating these painful physical sensations that you're now recognizing as anger. So the issue at that point isn't with you and the world, it's with you and you. But in order to get to that place, you've got to experience your emotions, and in your case, your anger. Because authentic power is doing exactly what seems impossible from the perception of fear, that you could actually experience this anger without acting it out, without being destructive. But you can. You can. And everyone who's been creating authentic power has been experimenting with just that, with experiencing their emotions, recognizing those that are destructive, and choosing consciously in that moment of feeling it to reach for the healthiest part of your personality that you can. One that is patient, one that is accepting, one that is in awe of the universe. And if you can't do that, reach for the healthiest one you can. When I first started doing this and I felt angry, all I could do when I felt angry was clench my teeth and clench my fist and just stand there trembling, determined not to speak in anger. And that changed the world I was living in, because before that, I was drawing to me people who felt anger and acted on anger righteously. But now I was drawing to me people who were feeling anger and determined not to act on it. And then later I could begin to relax my fist and my jaws a little bit. And now I can feel anger on my better days and not act on it at all. That's, for me, been an incremental process. And the process is creating authentic power, which is exactly what you've been reading about. So that's why Linda suggested participating in the Journey to the Soul. By the way, we're having a webinar to explain that to people tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow at 4:30.
At 4:30 Pacific time.
Pacific time.
So that's going to be show a little bit of introduction to the Seat of the Soul. We can't show you all of
you
it.
You mean to the Journey to the Soul.
To the Journey to retreat. The Soul. The Journey to the Soul Summer Retreat, yes. So thank you for your question, Ruben. I hope this has been helpful, because you've really gone to something that's at the foundation. That's the foundation not only of you, but of everyone that's creating authentic power, which is everyone.
Eventually, they will know that.
How do you experience a frightened part of your personality in its full force and not act on it? That's creating authentic power. That's what takes the new use of courage.
Right.
That's the only thing now that's going to lead to the opposite of fear, which is love. So you're practicing. But you can't practice if you don't know what you're practicing, and what you're practicing is challenging anger. And to do that, you've got to experience it fully, completely, not just say, I'm angry. That doesn't help.
But also challenging pleasing, the need to please someone and be different than who you are. Because when I started that process of seeing that I had frightened parts that needed to act in a certain way so that people would like me, I stopped doing that, and I felt the pain in my body because I wasn't doing what I thought they wanted me to do. And I didn't know what would happen. And I just kept doing that. And if I find myself pleasing what I do my best to notice it, feel it in my body and challenge it and do something loving, not pleasing. Pleasing to me is definitely not loving. It's trying to act a certain way and be a certain way so that someone will like me or won't reject me.
In other words, anger and pleasing both come from fear. And so the challenge to it is identical. Emotional awareness and responsible choice.
Indeed, indeed. Thanks, Ruben. It's so great to have you on the call.
Thank you so much.
Really wonderful. And,
Thank you.
So I'd like to call on Suha.
Hello.
Hi, Suha.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Linda. Hi, everybody. So this whole experience has given me plenty of opportunities to practice authentic power. I started off challenging frightened parts, and I believe I am now in frightened parts related to everything that we've been discussing as far as anger and judgment. I haven't acted on them. So the frightened parts that I did challenge were ones that were, you know, just speaking out when I think, when I know somebody doesn't want to hear what I have to say. I'm on a group chat with a bunch of friends, and I think the discussion began when the riots began. And I knew that a frightened part of my personality didn't want to say anything because it didn't want to rock the boat or say something that they didn't want to hear. So I just said, I think that what happened to George Floyd is the saddest part of this whole situation. And I kind of stuck with that. And I had a bunch of people, but, you know, fires, looting, but, and I said, I can't, for me, I can't get past the murder. To me, that's what's important to me. That's where the tragedy is for me. And so I felt like that was me challenging a frightened part of saying something that I know was unpopular amongst the other people on the thread.
Yeah. There's only one big thing about that is that if you're saying whatever you're saying and it's coming from a frightened part of your personality, that's not creating authentic power.
Yeah, but my frightened part would have just not said anything and let them say whatever they needed to say.
You have many frightened parts, Suha.
Yeah.
You have some that will do that, but you also have some that will say things and want people to believe what you're saying and agree with you. So you have that kind of a frightened part too. So it's not about choosing what frightened part you're going to act from. It's about actually feeling the pain in you, the frightened part of your personality. How many, maybe there are several that are, and being willing to feel that in your body.
Yeah.
Willing to feel that and actually what happens sometimes when you're feeling the pain that's really strong in you, instead of acting out and saying something to someone, what you can do is you can feel, because you'll get to the bottom of it. You'll get to the pain of powerlessness. And when you are feeling that pain, it's the pain of all. It's all our pain. And when you're willing to feel that, it changes you. It can change you forever.
Yeah.
Because then it's not about what you say to the people on the chat. Because you're saying, well, I challenge this one, but if you challenge it with another frightened part, that doesn't help. It doesn't.
I don't think I challenged it from another frightened part, but I do think that after I spoke up, I've had many frightened parts come up that I am aware of and I'm not acting on. I'm judging. I am 100% judging the people that, you know, don't focus on the murder, but are focusing on the looting. Like, I am aware of that. And I'm just staying put and quiet. And this is the first time I'm talking about it with the intention to challenge it. Cause I'm my frightened parts are itching to cut people out. My frightened parts are itching to delete them, to tell them off, to do all these things. And I'm just doing what Gary was saying. You know, if I have to clench my fists, I'm doing that. Right. But I believe that when I just expressed what I expressed, that wasn't, I don't believe I did that from fear, but I was aware of everything, the fear that came out after that.
Right. And by the way, what Suha is talking about is central to creating authentic power, and that's intention. Intention is everything. So don't think that you can't express yourself while you're feeling anger. The question is, can you... you can express yourself while you're feeling anger, but not speaking from that part of your personality, speaking from the most loving part of your personality you can reach. This is the discipline. This is the meditation. This is the methodology. This is what you can do to challenge a frightened part of your personality, whether it's pleasing, anger, judgment. They're all judgments. Everything coming from fear is a judgment. Everything coming from love is not. The two simply don't exist together. But when you're feeling fear in yourself and you don't want to act on it, whether it's pleasing or anger or judgment, you can choose, and you choose to express yourself. First, you can reach for the healthiest part of your personality that you can and express yourself from there. Know what your intention is, because that's what's going to create the consequences for you.
Yeah. I want to say one thing, Suha, when you said that you're not acting on it. If you're in judgment of other people, that's an act. That's an act.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
You didn't.
And actually, I don't believe that I was from that, because what came afterwards.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. What I want to say, I want to make sure there's no misunderstanding here. Because you don't act on something, but you're judging people, if you're judging people, and I don't know what you did. I'm just saying, if you are judging people, even though you don't say anything, that is pursuing external power. You want them to be different than they are, or you know, and so that is not creating authentic power.
But beloved, there's one thing I want to add to that, though. That is not creating karma. When you judge someone, yourself, look at that as a temptation, because that's what it is. Temptation is a gracious gift from the universe. It's a dry run at a negative karmic event. It's a dress rehearsal. The frightened part of your personality is going to blast them. It's going to delete them from your Facebook account, from your address book, from your life. It's going to tell them why. All of that is raging inside of you. That's a temptation. The temptation allows you to see what a frightened part of your personality is preparing to do, wants to do, and intends to do.
That's true.
When you act on that, it's not a dress rehearsal anymore. It's opening night. Theater doors are open. People come in and you blast. That creates karma. That's the creation of karma. So don't be afraid of experiencing your emotions. But it's when you act on them that you'll create painful consequences for yourself.
Now I understand what I'm thinking is... What I want to make sure that people on this call understand is that it's true. You're not acting on those things right now, and you're still feeling the pain. But what I'm saying is, I'm not talking about you in particular. I'm talking about anyone who silently judges people, and they keep judging them for the purpose of making them wrong and continue, and they don't even know about authentic power. They don't even know they have a choice. They are pursuing external power. I want to say it that way.
Because they'll act on those things, right?
Because they will act on them. Yeah. But even just if I'm judging you, I'm creating distance from you. I may not say anything to you, but I'm pursuing external power. Now, if I'm feeling judgment of you, and to myself, I'm saying, wow, this is frightened parts of my personality. I feel it. I know I'm creating distance right now. What do I want to do? And I may not say anything to you at all, but I do know that I don't want to do that. That's different than just judging you and pushing you away. Does everyone understand that? I just want to make sure I'm clear what we're talking about, because it's
I think I understand.
Okay.
If you're saying this, if you're angry with someone, just like I was saying, what I noticed my anger did to people, pushed them away, and they wouldn't be vulnerable with me. They didn't mm-hmm. want to be intimate with me. Mm-hmm. So that's what Linda's saying, that that energy is something you're doing unconsciously. Mm-hmm. And if you don't even know you're doing it, you're still doing it. People didn't want to be intimate with me when I was emoting that energy, which was all my life.
And so, much of your early life, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which of my life up until the time I started to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've talked about the law of attraction, which is just energy attracts like energy. So I was attracting other people like me. Mm-hmm. They were the only ones that would want to be around me. And the other people didn't. People who were kind, people who were generous. Maybe they were being generous to me by not expressing. If they were judging me, that wouldn't have been generosity. In other words, Linda's saying, when you have an intention, when you act on it, that creates karma. You're acting with an intention that comes from fear. But if you're not aware of what you're doing, you're still pushing people away. You're still creating consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And you're drawing to you people who are doing the same thing. I hope all this is clear.
Maybe you are aware that you're judging and you know that it's a frightened part, but you continue to do it anyway.
Oh, I was aware that I was judging, but I thought I was...
But you didn't understand about authentic power then.
No, I
I'm
didn't.
Talking about
I thought
when
it
you
was. I thought everyone was seeing this. If I could just show them, they'd see it this way too.
Of course, of course.
And that's the pursuit of external power.
Yes, yes. Well, thanks so much, Suha. I really appreciate you sharing that because I feel like many people are experiencing all these things, but you understand about authentic power. You understand about frightened parts. And I think you'll get clearer and clearer because you've spoken about it. I think I would love for you to share with me, you know, as you go through this process, what happens? Because I have a feeling you're going to get so clear because it's so important that we can talk together about these things. Really important.
And,
so, thank
and,
you.
And I acknowledge you, Suha. It's what I'm hearing is your experience firsthand that this is not easy
mm-hmm.
to experience a frightened part of your personality and consciously choose not to act on it.
Yes.
And then to go beyond that, to challenge it, not just because you don't want to act on it, but because you don't want it in your life anymore.
Right.
That's when you really start to see what creating authentic power is.
Mm-hmm.
It's this judgment.
Parts that are believing it, which I know that they're there. So that's adding to the complexity, is that believing.
Yes.
The frightened part of
believing that they're wrong, period, right?
That frightened part believes that, but you believe that frightened part. That's right.
Yeah. And the frightened part doesn't believe it. It knows it.
Yeah. It knows it.
So it's always a question of what is your choice, love
yeah.
or fear? Everyone knows choose love. That's a good thing if you're sort of looking at life that way. But how do you choose love when you're judging someone?
Right.
Or when you want to kill somebody or kill yourself? This is creating authentic power. This is coming into the full power, meaning, depth, scope, and responsibility of your life in the Earth School.
Indeed.
And living consciously in that. Authentic power is developing the ability to move through the Earth School with an empowered heart without attachment to the outcome. You can't do that without awareness. And the more you challenge frightened parts, the more your awareness begins to look at loving parts of your personality. So thank you, Suha.
Indeed.
This is for showing us what it's like in process.
Yes, thank you so much.
What you are like, what you are experiencing in process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would like to call on Jennifer. I don't see your picture. Maybe you're here somewhere, but I don't see you. Oh, there. Okay.
Yes. Yes, thank you so much, Gary and Linda, for having this. This is my first opportunity to be with you. And the only book I have been reading during this time is Spiritual Partnerships for the second time. So I have a couple things. Through this time, I've certainly kind of had dark nights of the soul where I didn't really want to be here anymore if this is what it was going to be like. And in the past week or so, I'm really feeling a lot of numbness. And I think that there's a couple of things. I really appreciate what Suha shared because it opened up a frightened part of my personality I hadn't thought of before. And that was the fear that I have when others distance from me. And how that leads to judgment of them to justify kind of why they've distanced. And certainly in the pandemic, it's easy to spiral about how people are distancing when they're being called to distance, but the emotional distancing. So thank you for that. And I have kind of come around to my role here. The grounding piece is my role is to learn and grow and love, and know that the spiritual partnerships that are part of that earth school for me are available. One place I thought I would love to hear some response from you is, I'm feeling numb about the racial unrest and the things that are happening, and I'm struggling to feel authentic empathy. And I don't really know how to navigate that.
Okay, empathy means, empathy is not love, by the way. Empathy just means you share an experience. If you were Black and experiencing this, that would be empathy. I can experience empathy with the police, for example, because at one time I wore a uniform and carried a weapon. That doesn't mean, all it means is I share an experience, and so I won't push them away. I can begin to see them the way I saw myself in those days and realize they're going through a process too. They're human. They're someone's son, just like Gandhi said. Mm-hmm. They're police, but look what they're doing. So empathy is not what we're after. We're after authentic power. And you can't just practice it. You have to create it. What Suha was calling practice, that is the creation. That's the process. Experiencing fear, choosing love, while you're experiencing fear, developing the awareness and the volition to do both of those things. So now you're saying you're not feeling any empathy with whatever it is, fill in the blank, and you say you're numb.
Yeah.
That means your awareness is not, is confined, is restricted. And you even discovered a little release from that prison cell when you were listening to Suha and you saw something that you hadn't seen about yourself. As you create authentic power, you're continually unearthing parts of your personality. And at first it can feel like an endless task. Mm. It's not. You're just awakening to your humanness. Don't despair as that begins to happen. Use your awareness. When you say, I'm numb to something, I can't identify with those people. That is the stance of Joseph Stalin. How could he kill so many people? Mao Zedong, Adolf Hitler. How could I be so cruel as to close my heart to someone because I don't relate to that? I don't like the way he's dressing. I don't like the way he's talking. I don't like the way he's, or what he's saying. That's numbness. Mm-hmm. So numbness is, use it as a signal. Use it as a flag. That's fear. That's not coming from love. Love is not numb. Love is aware. Love is open. Love is accepting. Accepting. It doesn't mean you have to act on what you see, but you don't have to judge it. In fact, it's not your job. It's not our job to be judge and jury. We're living in a universe of justice, non-judgmental justice. When you see an interaction between two people, you don't know enough about what's coming to conclusion in that moment to judge. And if you judge it, you create negative consequences for yourself. That doesn't mean you don't do what you can to free the oppressed or to protect the oppressed or the abused. But if you do it with judgment, you're creating negative karma for yourself. Can you do it without negative, without judging, without creating negative karma? Yes, you can. Gandhi did it. And we still talk about him. What a presence in the earth. Mm-hmm. And Martin Luther King, yes. And the Christ, we still talk about that fellow. Mm-hmm. Say fellow, that confines him to a personality. He was a presence. You're a presence too. And what did this presence say? He said, everything that I can do, you can do. Mm-hmm. And more. Mm-hmm. Now, he was saying it not as dogma. He was seeing something, and he was talking about what he was seeing. Not every Christian preacher is like that. Maybe they're talking about what they've learned. Not every Buddhist lama or monk is the Buddha. Maybe they're talking about what they've learned because they see something valuable for it in them, but they're closed in that cage. But I have met priests, Catholic priests, who are not confined by their Catholicism. They wear it like a cloak, and others want me to wear the cloak too. But the ones who are that don't worry about whether I wear it or not. They're in the world, and we're all in it together. I hope this is helpful, what I'm saying. If you're numb, recognize that for what you can. It's fear. And yeah. While you're numb, you're creating consequences that are destructive for you, and you're creating negative karma.
Right.
So it's worth putting some attention on what you know you're numb to, because there's a lot lying underneath that numbness.
Yes.
A whole lot.
A lot. As you know, because you're kind of flipping back and forth between the dark night of the soul, feeling everything, and then not feeling anything, right?
Right.
But it's all fear. It's all fear. And so it's really important, I feel, so in other words, if you are in what you call a dark night of the soul, you can become aware when that's happening. When you're feeling all that immense pain, you can become aware in that moment and know, I want to learn from this. I'm going to learn from this. I don't know what it is, but I am going to learn and ask for help. And if you do that, things shift. And if you're in numbness, same thing, because I know you're not numb. I know your frightened parts think that, but you're not. But frightened parts do not want to, give up what they have, which is to control you. And I know you don't want that, or you wouldn't be on this call.
Yeah.
I don't want that. Right. And so I know that what you're doing is amazing. Amazing. And I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're talking about it. And please come join us at the journey. Just like I told Ruben, it would be so, so amazing for you.
Yes.
To be able to be in spiritual partnership with people who are have been practicing, who are new to it. Mm-hmm. And it's online. Mm-hmm. It's live online. It's our first time to do it live online. We did do a live online partial retreat in March and with some people that even on this call, and it was so powerful.
Now, does anyone on the team happen to have the link that the newcomers here can go
to the webinar?
To the webinar tomorrow? So they can experience that. If you do, just
well, if you want that link and you don't have it, just send an email to us at lifeschool@seatofthesoul, and we'll make sure you get it. Just send it to us at lifeschool@seatofthesoul if you didn't happen to get our invitation to that.
Yeah, so that's tomorrow. So send your email tonight so someone will have a chance to get now, so someone can receive it and send you the link.
Yeah.
I could post it in the chat did you want me to?
Say it again, Ruben.
Did you want me to post it in the chat there?
Oh yeah, that'd be great. I'm so glad you can do that. I don't know how to do that, so thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, does everyone, let's see. I'm not seeing the chat.
He'll post it in there for us, I think. So.
Oh, afterwards you're going to post it.
I think he means right now.
It's in there right now.
It's in there now?
Yeah, but I can't get it. I'm clicking on chat. So other
people
may have.
There it is.
It's
right here, beloved.
Oh.
It's right here.
Oh, it's another one.
No, I guess it.
No, no. Maybe it's not. It's not.
Okay.
It is. It's there.
It is there?
Yeah, it's there.
Fantastic.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Ruben.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So I'd like to call on Lisa. Hello, Lisa.
We're past time, beloved.
Oh, we are?
Well, yes, we are. Just
oh, my
to let you
goodness
know,
gracious.
An hour's gone by very quickly.
You know, I think, maybe we can do quick shares because there's so many of you that want to share. Let's do quick ones. So.
Okay. Thank you. Hi, you guys. So nice to see everyone. Quickly. Long story short, my biggest struggle right now is with personal responsibility, reconciling oppression, victimization versus personal responsibility. I would love to hear what you have to say about that.
Oh, that's easy. Your responsibility is to be aware and change yourself. You don't have a responsibility to other people. Now, let me explain that so there won't be any misunderstanding.
Right.
If you have this thing called responsibility to another person, it is to be creating authentic power yourself in the moment. And as you've been reading Authentic Power, Spiritual Partnership, you know that the only way that you can be in spiritual partnership to someone else is to be creating authentic power. Because if you're not, you're speaking from judgment, from your position, from the position of a frightened part of your personality. You don't have a responsibility to change somebody else. In other words, it's not your responsibility to proselytize, convert, persuade, dissuade somebody to think, do, or act differently. It's your job.
Well, what about the people who are being oppressed? The systemic racism? Are those people responsible for their situation?
No, there's a great deal. Well, yes, in a deeper sense, there is a great deal involved. And that's called karma, the universal law of cause and effect. They are responsible, but they're also responsible for being aware, now that we're becoming multisensory, of what they're experiencing in their lives. I could... Your responsibility is not to change anyone else. Now, you can set the intention to change policies in this country so that we have policing policies that are very different, that we have healthcare policies that are very different, that take into account people who aren't making as much money as wealthy people in this country, people who don't get the privilege as wealthy people in this country. You can set the intention to change all of that, but the only way you're going to be able to do it is without judgment. The only way you're going to be able to do it is, as Hippocrates said, know yourself. Physician, know thyself. Before you can heal anybody else, know yourself. That's all.
So the oppressed groups, this is what they should be doing too, right? They should be getting to know themselves.
No,
this is where I'm struggling.
There's no should, Lisa. There's no should. Whenever there's a should, you're trying to take responsibility for somebody else. We just listened to Senator Corey, like I said, and Stephen tried to tell him, what do you think Joe Biden should do? And Corey said, I'm not going to should on Joe Biden. I'm not going to tell him what he should do. I don't like it when somebody knocks. I used to not like it when somebody knocks on my door with a pamphlet to tell me about what they think and how I should feel that way. I used to react to that. And now when I do my best not to act on my reaction. So it's not your responsibility to be the judge and jury. These people are oppressed. That doesn't mean you don't do everything you can to free the oppressed. But what is your intention?
Right.
What's is it intention? To be righteous? Is it to be a savior?
Is it to make other people wrong?
Is it to be appreciated? No, you can only act from a position of power like Gandhi, like Christ, like Martin Luther King, and there's many others. When you know yourself, when you are challenging frightened parts of your personality, not numb to them and acting on them unconsciously, when you're aware and you're still choosing because you're using your courage in a new way to act from the healthiest, most sane, most grounded part of your personality you can in the moment.
And when you're in that place, you open to your intuition and you follow what you can mm-hmm. open to your intuition to see what is the most positive thing I could do right now. Not that it's going to tell you, but you will know from a loving part of your personality mm-hmm. what you need to do, what you need to mm-hmm. do. If you have any responsibility, where your responsibility is, you'll know that.
But your first responsibility is to become someone with an empowered heart.
Yes.
Without that, you go nowhere in changing the world. You just add more to it.
Right.
Because there are a lot of people think it's their responsibility to change you.
Yep. So we need to move on. Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Lisa.
Yeah. And Chard, want to call in?
Chard. Huh? Yeah. Tell us how you want us to say your name.
Chad. Thank you so much for giving me a moment. Where I'm really struggling with is that I can see, I cannot judge or should not judge people, but their actions. I cannot reconcile how not to judge action. That a murder, I feel I need to condemn murder. Or if somebody is speaking cruel language, should I not judge that? And maybe it's a nuance, but I'm kind of stuck there.
It's not nuance, Chad. It's a chasm. It's a big difference between judgment and discernment. You can discern somebody who's acting cruelly, who's acting brutally. But if you judge it, you become like them. Mm-hmm. If you have no compassion for people who have no compassion, what's the difference between you? What's mm-hmm. the difference between you and that white man who killed a black man while everyone was watching? He had no compassion for this person. He didn't see him even as a person. If you have no compassion for this killer, what's the difference between the two of you? He has no compassion. You have no compassion.
And I understand that part. So I can have compassion. Even with Trump, I can have compassion, but I can't. I feel like I have to judge behavior.
That's the heart of it. That's the heart of it, Chad. It's not you that feels that way. It's a frightened part of your personality.
That feels what way?
That it needs to judge. That it needs to judge. That it's right to judge. That it's evident that this requires judgment. When you judge, you create negative karma for yourself, painful consequences for yourself. The Christ said it better and more succinctly than I've ever heard anyone else say it. Judge not, lest you be judged. Using judgment as an example, he explained karma. Judge, kill not, lest you be killed. Steal mm-hmm. not, lest you be stolen from. All of these things are not new. But what is new is that we're now becoming multisensory. Human consciousness is changing. And we can see all of those things that we couldn't see before, that we took for granted, we took for the way the world is. And now we're beginning to distinguish, is it a frightened part of our personality that took those things for granted? That can't rest because it sees an injustice. What we can see are people not treated as souls. People not perceived, not seen as walking miracles. And the only people who see them that way are those who can't see themselves as walking miracles, who see others as less than them. So when there is an oppression, do what you can in ways that are appropriate to you. Know your intention before you act, before you speak.
It doesn't mean don't do anything.
That's love. Thank you. I think that clarifies. I mean, speaking up from love, and maybe that's a nuance about maybe you cannot judge with love. Maybe that's where I'm. It's more wording than, but for me, the speaking up, that and calling out. That is what I feel, and what I maybe mixed with judging.
Yes, and you said it exactly. You cannot judge when you're in love. You can't do it. And you can't love when you're judging. So you choose between fear and love. That's creating authentic power when you choose love. But you've got to be aware to make that choice. In other words, otherwise you're acting unconsciously and destructively.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that so much. Thank you. I'm going to call on one more person and then we're going to get off the call, but I want to say one thing.
Yes, we can't call on everyone.
We talked about empathy, and Gary said empathy is coming from fear, but what doesn't come from fear is compassion. That's something completely different.
Exactly.
Completely different. It's something that, in fact, in the Authentic Power Guidelines, it's one of the guidelines, one of the sections of the guidelines, commitments first, then courage, the new use of courage, then compassion, and then acting.
Conscious communications
and actions. And so compassion is very different. And Gary and I were talking about this last night. We were saying how many times words mean different things. So when I say a word, I'm not going to get into it, but if I use the word empathy, do I really mean compassion? Is that what I really mean, compassion? Or do I mean empathy, which comes from fear? So that's, just like looking at the words from a multi-sensory perspective are very different. That's why we use a certain vocabulary, because we're talking about a vocabulary for multi-sensory people. That's what we're talking about. And so it's quite different. Harmony from a five-sensory perspective is trying to make everything okay. From a multi-sensory perspective, it's very different. Creating harmony means you're in your own integrity.
Yes.
And so that's enough of that. But anyway, I'm excited about telling you about that.
There's never enough of these things.
Yeah.
But,
I know.
This is a call.
Yes. And yes. So and we have, it's time.
Hello, Gabby. It's nice to see you again.
Yes, it is. And I just want to say, Christina and Scott, I don't know who wanted to speak, but if you can make it really quick, and then we're going to end the call.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Oh, there you are.
I had a frightened part come up where my throat cut off, and then I realized as I sat on it for a little while, my heart opened up, and I'm really amazed by these calls. I just see the brightness of all the souls here, and what came up for me was my father said, I said, I have to take this call at noon, and my father said something to me when I got the phone. He said, you tell that group hi, because I think that group you're in can change the world. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to say that because I felt like I was bringing something in attached to the outcome, but I want to challenge that. And I see all these beautiful souls.
Yeah.
So thank you all.
Well, that's a beautiful way to end the call. Thank you, Scott.
Magnificent.
Beautiful.
But what isn't magnificent when you really begin to see with your new multisensory perception?
Yeah.
Thank you all. It's a joy.
So beautiful to be on this call with you.
A real joy. Yes.
Thank you, beloved.
Thank you. Yes, you, beloved. Thank you.
And let's just take one moment to just be with each other just for a moment, and then we'll open up the microphones. Everyone can just say goodbye to everyone. So
there we
are. Take a moment and just be with each other. And I'm such gratitude to be here with all of you. Thank you so much. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 So long, everybody. Bye.